Blog Talk Radio.
Who taught the sun where to stand in the morning? And who told the ocean you can only come this far?
Good to know that your Redeemer lives.
Praise God. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of United Christian Ambassadors Radio, also known as UCA Radio, where you will find music and a message. I am your host, Pastor T. Meyer McCain of Church of Jesus Christ Ministry and Church on the Phone. I would like to say right now a hearty hello to all of our UCA members and visitors. Our UCA members are faithful listeners to not only UCA Radio, but also our Christian Talk program. So I just want to say a hearty hello to our faithful members and to all of our visitors. Welcome. Call right now. Text or inbox all of your friends and family members and tell them to call in. You don't want them to miss this message. The number to dial in is 646-668-8537, or tell them to just click on my Facebook page and click on the post on my Facebook page. Or if you're familiar with Tumblr, and if you're a part of that, then you can click on the link on Tumblr on Alignable. If you're a part of that on Instagram or Twitter. Okay, as a matter of fact, you can follow me on Instagram, follow me on Twitter, okay? And click on the link wherever you see the post of this particular broadcast in order to listen from your computer today or any day and time after this program, any day or time after this program. If you just happen to see the link on my page, click on it, and you can hear this entire program from the beginning to the end. Okay? Tell your friends to join me for this 1 hour, because I'm going to be preaching on the big picture, God's big picture. That's the title of my message today. It's the big picture. You see, God has a plan, an order that will be fully revealed in the near future that will finally cause people to see the big picture. When you think about it, right now, we are all like caterpillars. We are subject to the earth. We can't see anything except what's in front of us on our level. But the ultimate destiny is for the caterpillar to become a butterfly. Once it becomes a butterfly, then it can see the big picture. Once we become heavenly creatures in the full, and I'm talking full, likeness of the glorified Jesus Christ, then we will see the big picture and fully know the perfect will of God. We don't understand all things that pertain to the Lord right now. We just don't. And that's because we can't see it. Our eyes are closed to the things of the kingdom realm of God. And only God can open up our eyes and our understanding to these things. Once our understanding is open, then we begin to start seeing the big picture, which is God's complete and total plan for a new humanity, a new heaven, and a new earth. Having the full revelation of Jesus Christ is the beginning of seeing God's big picture, because seeing Jesus and knowing him and loving him brings us into God's perfect order, his perfect will, his perfect plan, which is the big picture. When we see and know Jesus, then we are lifted up. Here's another example. When a parade comes into your town and you go to see the beautiful parade, you see it as it passes by, you know, one float after the other. But if you were somehow to be lifted up in the sky, you can see the big picture. You can actually see the parade from beginning to the end. God wants us to be lifted up. He wants us to come up higher so we can see the big picture of his plan of the ages. Okay, so what is the big picture, you may ask? Well, just hang in there, and by the power of the Holy Spirit in today's broadcast, we will open up your mind. We will open up your heart to receive and hear and understand the big picture in this show tonight. So we'll answer that question by God's grace. Thank you, Lord. So don't go away, because We will be right back after this.
The enemy came up against your home. The enemy came up against your children. The enemy came up against your name. The enemy came up against your character. You will win, win. You will win, you win.
Listening to UCA Radio, where you will find music and a message. UCA stands for United Christian Ambassadors, all true believers, workers, and disciples of Jesus Christ are ambassadors for Christ, and that makes you a UCA member. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we humbly come before you right now to hear your word. Anoint your messenger, Lord. This word can be presented exactly how you want it to be, and let your spirit move upon those who have an ear to hear. And confirm the words, O Lord. Confirm your word flowing through us. And let us take what you have given us to use according to your perfect will. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Our message today, the big picture. Thank you, Lord. The big picture. People get hung up many times on the wrong things when it comes to life, our purpose for living, and so on, simply because we can't see the big picture. God knew the big picture from the very beginning, because the big picture was in the mind of God since before the beginning of time. And God brought forth his big picture when he created the heavens and the earth. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, which means he created that which was spiritual and that which was physical or natural. And that means that God had to be outside of the heavens and the earth in order for him to have created it. He had to be outside of the spiritual and physical in order for him to create it. Therefore, he can see the big picture because he created the big picture. His big picture is his will, his plans, his order, and his desires for himself and for all of his creation, and especially for mankind. God created mankind in order for mankind to take part in the continual creation of many things. Keep in mind that the universe and dimensions and realms are constantly expanding, and God's big picture is for mankind to expand with it. But because of man's free will, there was a setback in the order and the furthering of developing of many things in the universe. Like, for example, God wants all of the uninhabited and lifeless planets in the universe to develop, to wax strong, to grow, to bloom, in other words, and have life upon it. But because of man's disobedience, it has been put on hold. But God's big picture still remains, and mankind will reach their full potential. We will become perfect people because Jesus made it so. Jesus Christ, who is God, manifested in the flesh, he pressed forward for the joy that he would have in the kingdom of heaven with us by his side. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Because Jesus could see the big picture. Let us also not forget that it was by God's word that he created all things. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And now we know that Jesus is the Word made flesh. John chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word, the same very Word that was spoken of in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, what I just read, the same very Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus, the Word of God, was there before earth was created, and he confirmed this by his statement to the Father in John chapter 17, verse 5. He said, "And now, O Father, glorify thou me, glorify you, me, with your own self, with the glory which I had with you before the world was." That's a strong statement. That's a strong prayer. Therefore, he saw and knew the big picture because he is the big picture. Since the fall of mankind, our minds are limited. We have finite minds. Even our understanding is limited. It's like we are in a box in the midst of a paradise, a big, beautiful paradise. But we can't see the paradise because we are enclosed and trapped in a box. This is the reason that Jesus had to demonstrate the kingdom of God by doing miracles, signs, and wonders. He preached the kingdom of God, therefore he had to demonstrate the power of the kingdom age, of God's kingdom age that is to come. For example, healings. You know, many of us pray to be healed. Healings. There is no sickness in the kingdom. So that's a glimpse of the kingdom realm when we're healed. So in order for the people to see an example of the big picture, Jesus healed them. But we must understand that when the Lord heals us, we are healed while we are still in these fallen natured bodies. Keep in mind that these fallen natured bodies cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. Our physical healings are merely an example of the kingdom life where there's no sicknesses and no diseases. The big picture is for us to have different bodies, as it is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption." It's not possible. God showed Paul the big picture. He called it a mystery because it is indeed a mystery. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. We read these scriptures all the time, but still we don't always get the full revelation of it. But here's what Paul said. He said, "Behold, I show you a mystery, a hidden secret. We shall not all sleep or die." He's saying all of us will not die. All of us won't sleep or all of us will not die, but we shall all be changed. The big picture is the change. Some will die, some won't, but you will be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Paul was given the big picture by revelation. He understood God's master plan, which is the big picture. God wants his people to understand that Christians don't die. We continue to live, and we should preach that, pastors. Christians don't die. We continue to live. We drop these fallen natured bodies, of course, but we take on our celestial bodies with Christ. So we continue to live. This, once again, is God's big picture, as it is written in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. Paul says it like this. He said, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle," meaning these fallen natured bodies that we're in right now, "if it were dissolved," in other words, when we drop these natural fallen bodies, "we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." That means we will be spirits. That's what we have. If these bodies are dissolved or destroyed somehow, we would simply be spirits. "For in this," he goes on to say, "in these sickly, fallen natured bodies that we carry around every day, we groan because our spirits groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven." Our spirits groan in these bodies because they want to be clothed with a heavenly house. Our house from heaven is our celestial or spiritual yet still tangible heavenly bodies. If so, he goes on to say, if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. When Paul says that we will not be found naked, that is to say without a body at all, just being spirits, disembodied spirits, spirits without bodies. Paul continues to make it clear about our fallen natured bodies that we're in right now. He said, for we that are in this tabernacle, he's like repeating it again, in this tabernacle, which is our fallen natured earthly bodies that's full of sin, heartaches, depression, fear, ungodly desires, misery, strife, perversions, envy, jealousies, unforgiveness, pain, violence, hatred, heaviness, suffering, sores, viruses, and bacterias, we groan, do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed. You see, we're burdening these bodies, but still we want a body. That's to say that, you know, we are burdened in these bodies, but still we want to have a body for our spirits. We don't want to be spirits without bodies. So we don't want to be unclothed. To not have a body means that you're unclothed. We don't want to be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Clothed upon with our heavenly bodies so that we're no longer mortal beings. We want to be clothed, but clothed with our bodies from heaven. And that's exactly what the Lord does with his people when they transcend, or as the world would say, when they die. But God has given us the big picture. Mankind right now lives on this side of heaven in the natural realm, the earthly realm. Therefore, we see things in a carnal way or worldly way, which is why worldly people don't understand what real living and life is really about. Because from the day they were born, a time clock starts. It is a regular routine for the world. It starts from the day they are born until the day they die. That is the worldly cycle of what they see as life. But that's not living. While we're in these fallen natured bodies, we are simply or merely surviving, not living. You see, the world, we fight and struggle to stay alive until the clock runs out. That's the world, but not so with Christians. The time clock does not go out for Christians because we continue to live. Now, I know it's going to take a few minutes for a lot of Christians listening to the program today to really grasp this, but you continue to live. That's why the Lord says we will have eternal life, because we continue to live. That's why, you know, I know that it's hard when we see and hear of Christians being persecuted. Many who have no hope get fearful when they hear Christians being persecuted. Other Christians get fearful of death. What if it happens to me? When we learn that a child or a loved one has died, many people tend to lose hope. Why? Well, when I say many people, I'm talking Christians tend to lose hope. And why? Well, first of all, because it is an ugly picture to see or even to know that someone has been brutally murdered or killed, even if it's by accident. We are sad because there are many of these people who were young people when they passed. And it's so sad, and many hearts are broken because of this. And some people can't seem to get over losing a loved one. They can't move on. Let's admit it. It is hard. But it's because we can't see the big picture. We can't see what actually happened or happens to a person, a Christian, just before their spirits leave their bodies. Many Christian people felt no pain at all during their persecutions. None at all. Their spirits left their body before the pain could hit. You see, and once they transcend, if they're Christians, they went immediately to the Lord just the way Jesus designed it. Have you ever asked yourself, why is it that people that you know who are really relatively good people, loving and caring people, those who are innocent, helpful, and has never done anything wrong to anybody, why did they die? You know, when there's so many ugly people, mean, hateful people in this world, why did these people here, this very loving and kind and caring, why did they die? Well, we have to understand that God has and will take some people early or at a certain time in their lives in order to keep them from the evil that's coming. He takes some people because they will not be able to stand in the evil days that's coming upon the earth. He takes some of his people because their work is done, what their destiny is finished, what he designed them to do is done. So he takes them home with him. You see, a flood of evil is coming, and some people he takes away because he don't want them to go through the flood of evil, and some people he takes them because their work is done. But keep in mind that God will not allow us to go through things that we can't bear. So he takes some of us home because he don't want us to go through certain things. Therefore, he brings them home to him, like he did with Methuselah, for example, the man who lived longer than any fallen-natured man ever. His actual name, Methuselah, typified the meaning that after his death, the flood of Noah shall come. Methuselah was spared seeing and experiencing the flood. God took him. He even helped Noah build the ark. Then on the other hand, we have, you can flip the coin a little bit, because there's some people that will be delivered to Satan purposely, but their spirits are kept for the Lord. As Paul explains that, he explains it perfectly in the first chapter of Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5. Paul says, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved or delivered in the day of the Lord Jesus. Paul could say all of this because he saw the big picture. On this side of heaven, in the earthly realm, it looks ugly. It's terrible, even horrible. And it truly is. That's why we mourn and we cry and we're very, very sad when someone passes or transcends. But still, Paul tells us that we shouldn't be ignorant about those who die or sleep, as he calls it. Sleep, as he calls it. And he's talking to Christians about Christians who die, or that's what the world say, but Paul says, who sleeps. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. Paul said, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. The world has no hope, but we have faith and hope in Christ Jesus. Paul goes on to say, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, which we do, even so them also which sleep, or as the world say, die in Jesus, will God bring with him. So those who have died in Christ will return with him. Okay, then that means that they're not dead. This is what Jesus said about the Father in Mark chapter 12, verse 27. Jesus said, he is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Okay, so where are they now? Where are where are these people that have transcended now? Where are they living today? The answer, they're with Jesus. They are in the place where Paul desired to be. But he was torn. He was torn to either go and be with the Lord or stay with those he was ministering to. Philippians chapter 1, verses 23 and 24. This is Paul speaking. He said, "For I am in a strait betwixt the two, having a desire to depart," that means to sleep, "and be with the Lord," or be with Christ, which is far better, he says himself, that's far better. "Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." Paul made the choice, and this was a choice he made out of love. Paul made the choice to remain in his fallen nature body so that he can continue to minister to his followers. Although he knew that to go on and die or sleep would be better because he would be with Jesus immediately, he chose to continue to strengthen God's people so that they can be with the Lord as well. Keep in mind that Paul was given the big picture by revelation. But Peter, James, and John, they saw the big picture when they saw Jesus transfigured right before their eyes on the Mount of Transfiguration. Matthew 17, verses 1 and 2. "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John," his brother. You notice it says after 6 days. I mean, it was on the seventh day. Seven is the number of perfection and completeness. But anyway, "after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bring them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. His face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light." They saw him. They saw the Ancient of Days. They saw the kingdom of God standing right in front of them. Jesus Christ is the kingdom that will dwell in us. Luke 17, verse 21, Jesus said, "Neither shall they say, Lo here or Lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. This is a mystery among all nations, but not among those God has chosen to reveal the mystery and unveil the revelation. As it is written in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is given for us to know the mysteries of the kingdom, because the kingdom will be seen in us, and the kingdom within us will be the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ dwelling in us." Those three men on the mount, Peter, James, and John, those three men on the mount saw that Jesus Christ is really the Son of God, the heir of God. They saw the big picture. When they saw Jesus transfigured right before their very eyes, and all of the apostles finally saw the big picture when Jesus appeared before them in the upper room after his resurrection, and when they were anointed on the day of Pentecost, they no longer had a fear of death because they saw the big picture. They went from being cowards to being heroes of the faith because they had proof of their resurrection, because they saw Jesus, who is the resurrection, being fully resurrected in their faces. That's why Paul said that he would not have us to be ignorant about those who die or sleep in Jesus. We have the witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ given to us by the Holy Spirit himself. And some of us have actually seen the resurrected Jesus Christ as well. Some of you listening have experienced a piece of the kingdom realm where God has revealed himself to you physically, and you've seen it. Some of you listening to me have seen it. You have seen him, Jesus Christ. We have seen the big picture. Therefore, we no longer fear death anymore. Why? Because we have received the revelation that Christians don't die. We transcend. We change. We know now that we continue to live in heavenly celestial bodies that's free from all negative things, a body that is full of life, love, and light, bodies that will never die and can never be destroyed in any way, no matter what, cannot be destroyed. This is one of the reasons Jesus raised the dead. Yeah, I said Jesus raised the dead. People get it all mixed up. They think that Jesus resurrected these people when he walked the shores of Galilee, but he didn't resurrect them. He simply brought them back to life. There's a big difference between bringing someone back to life and the resurrection. Jesus himself hadn't been resurrected at that point, but he had to show the people that he is the resurrection. So he had to show them something that they could visibly see, something they could relate to. They saw Jesus bring Lazarus back from the dead. John 11, verse 23 through 26. Jesus said unto her, to Martha, he was talking to Martha, your brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Aha, but Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus was the resurrection then, and he is still the resurrection now. He goes on to say, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Right here, he is explaining the resurrection for those who continually believe in him. That's important to know. Those who continually believe in Jesus Christ, they are the ones who will be resurrected. That's why I say Christians don't die, but we are changed. He went on to say, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. This is a literal change while we are alive. He's talking about people that are alive, walking around, living, breathing, doing whatever. He said those Christians, people that are alive and continually believe in him, they will never die. This is what John was referring to when he said in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Mm-hmm. That statement means that we are about to become something. We are about to be changed. He goes on to say, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. That means that we will be changed into the full likeness and image of the glorified Jesus Christ. And to confirm that, John goes on to say, for we shall see him as he is. That means we will see him as he truly is in his full glory. And we can't see him in that state in his full glory. We can't see him in that state unless we ourselves are changed. When Jesus raised the dead, he was giving the people a physical revelation, because Jesus already had the big picture. The physical raising of the dead was merely a type of the resurrection. It wasn't a real resurrection. They were simply raised from the dead because they were raised right back into their fallen natured bodies, not into their resurrected celestial bodies. Like I said earlier, there's a difference. For example, if someone was pronounced dead in a hospital, or if they died on the street and someone revives them, then they were brought back to life. They wasn't resurrected. They were brought back from the dead. And we know that God himself can put that person's spirit right back in their fallen natured bodies. He has done that quite often, as a matter of fact. Nevertheless, these people were brought back to life. Still, they were not resurrected. Not yet. Jesus brought someone back to life even after they were dead for 4 days. You know, Lazarus. Lazarus was brought back to life, but he was still in his fallen nature body. He was not resurrected. He was just raised from the dead. Everyone that Jesus raised from the dead during his time on earth was just that, raised from the dead. They were not resurrected because Jesus himself had not been resurrected yet. They couldn't be resurrected before him because he was the forerunner. Let me explain it like this. To be fully and truly resurrected means to be changed. We are to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Romans 8, verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. We are not conformed into the image of the lowly Jesus who walked the shores of Galilee. He was the Lamb of God who was to be slain and die for the sins of the world. But we are to be conformed and transformed into the image of the glorified Jesus Christ, who now sits on the right hand of the Father in glory. This is our destiny. This is the big picture. This is the reason why Jesus prayed for oneness, a real oneness with the Father and himself, a real oneness. This is a physical, mental, soulful, and spiritual change. John 17, verse 21, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That is a true oneness to the place that you will see that Jesus is God. It's oneness. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Jesus is talking about a physical oneness because we will receive bodies like unto his glorious body, made of God's DNA, which is light, by the way. It will be a mental change because we will have the mind of Christ and of God. Revelation chapter 14, verses 1, and I'm reading from the Passion Translation. Then I looked, and behold, there was the young lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 who had his name and his father's name written on their foreheads. You notice he was standing on Mount Zion, standing. He had been slain, but he was no longer slain. He has risen. He was standing, and he was standing with his church, 144,000. Who had his name and his father's name written on their foreheads. We are sealed with the mind of God. Even Paul tells us to have the mind of Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And in another place, Paul tells us that we need to be transformed by having a renewing of our minds. Paul once again was giving us a glimpse of the big picture. This change will also be a soulful change because the Lord will restore our souls to the place that we will become living souls again. Did you know that everybody now that's born is dying souls? But God is going to make us through Jesus Christ living souls again, just like Adam was in the beginning. This change will be also a spiritual change because we will have the right spirit within us, which means that we will have the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And having the fullness of the Holy Spirit is to have the seven spirits of God in us and all around us, which will make us spiritual people, not spirits and not carnal, natural, or physical people, but literally spiritual people with celestial heavenly bodies. This is exactly what the Lord meant when he said we must be born again. In John 3, 5, Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. To be fully born again means to be mentally, physically, and spiritually changed. The whole man is changed because when Jesus died on the cross, it was the whole man that died on the cross. So the whole man will be changed. We will be born again of water, spirit, and incorruptible seed, like Peter, like Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. All of this is our true new birth. Our true new birth is change. Jesus saw the big picture for us. That's why he went on to explain in verses 6 through 8, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, or where it will. And thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it go. We don't know where it came from or where it go, but we can hear the sound of the wind. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. To be born of the Spirit means to literally be born of God himself, because God is Spirit, and in him there is no beginning and no end. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He is eternal. Therefore, we will be eternal as well. We will be eternal. We will step into eternity once we are truly and fully born again, as he is in eternity. He is eternal because we are born of him, and God gives us his mind. Here's the big picture. Jesus wants us to be with him where he is. John 14, verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Here's the big picture. He wants us to be in heaven and on earth at the same time as we minister to the people, just as he was. We are to be wherever he is. Well, where is Jesus, you may ask? The answer, he's everywhere, in all dimensions, in all realms, all throughout the universe, and we are to be with him where he is. Keep in mind that Jesus has dominion over the heavens and the earth, so he is everywhere at the same time. The Lord wants to give all of mankind the big picture. But many are so full of pride, so full of religion, self-righteousness. They are preoccupied, opinionated, or simply not interested. And many are selfish, or they have a love for other things. You know, people, materials, objects, or various other false gods. And many get carried away with doctrines of demons, insomuch that they cannot see God's big picture. Understand that for right now, we all see life through a dark glass. All of us. That's why we only operate with only a portion of the Holy Spirit in this hour. We're only operating with just a portion of it. A little bit of the earnest of our inheritance, to keep our faith alive. But when the fullness of his Spirit comes, which is pure perfection, then we are able to see more clearly, as it is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 9 and 10. Paul says, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part, not in fullness, but in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. That's when we can behold the Lord in his full glory and be changed. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Paul goes on to say, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. That's a beholding as in a mirror. The glory of the Lord are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. I praise and thank the Lord because he still gives the big picture. to those who desire more of him, those who really want to know the Lord and love him more. He reveals to them the big picture, like John the Revelator. John saw the big picture. Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. The seven golden candlesticks. That's the seven spirits of God. And in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. He saw Jesus in the midst of his golden candlestick church, but it was the seven spirits of God. The fire is the seven spirits of God upon his church with Jesus in the midst. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto brass, like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. You see, John really saw the big picture. He physically saw the revelation of Jesus Christ. He saw the Ancient of Days. And he laid his hand, his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. When John saw Jesus in his glorified state, he saw eternity. John could only see him at this point while he was in the spirit. He could not have seen Jesus in that particular state while he was in the natural, like before. When Jesus revealed himself to the three on the Mount of Transfiguration, they were in their natural bodies. But he only showed them a portion of himself or a portion of the big picture. And that was before he was resurrected. But after his resurrected, when John saw him, John had to be, and I mean really be, in the spirit before he could behold him at that point. And even then, it was still just a portion of his greatness that he showed John. God was given revelations of the big picture all throughout scriptures, but it takes the Holy Spirit to unveil the mystery to us. The bottom line is that Jesus went to the Father after his resurrection in order to return to us in spirit as the Holy Spirit. So that he can dwell in us and each of us and work from within us while still working directly from heaven and delivering and judging the world. Jesus has dominion over and power over the heavens and the earth. So now we have to understand that the big picture is that there's so much more to this message, but we're running out of time. So I'm just going to give you the basics of the big picture. The big picture is change. God wants us to be one with him. Amen. Thank you all for listening to our program today. I truly appreciate all of our faithful listeners, and I just pray that you understood the message that was given and that you will hold it close to your heart. To your hearts. Remember to join us on Wednesday for Christian Talk with my wife and I, T. Myron Tosila, and that's at 8 p.m. Pacific time. We're here with UCA Radio that you're listening to right now, 3 p.m. Pacific time every Monday. So check your time zone and be sure to dial in or click on the post, and you can listen from your computer at any time. Even now, this program, you can listen to it anytime after the show, next week, anytime. God bless you all, and thank you for joining us today with UCA Radio. Bye-bye.